Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractors Business Presentation of the Month. This monthly CV web series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandin Associates' vision of teaching contractors how to run profitable businesses. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable contractor. Do you ever get frustrated trying to run your company? You work really hard, deal with problems all day long, and worst of all, when it's all over, you didn't make any money. Well, that's the true story of Joe the Plumber. The difference is Joe completely reorganized his company and turned it into a very profitable business. After listening to the amazing turnaround of Joe the Plumber, the question will quickly come to your mind, can I do that? And the answer is yes. This presentation begins with Joe's true story, but the lessons are in what each of us can learn from Joe. This month's presenter is Tom Grandy, founder and president of Grandy & Associates. Tom shares this true story at every three-day basic business boot camp he presents as an inspiration to the attendees. When you hear this presentation, you will soon have an attitude of, I can do that. And guess what? You really can. If you can't make it to a boot camp, then at least use this presentation as an instrument of change within your business. Now let's listen to Joe's story and take a close look at eight things we can all learn from Joe the Plumber that can inspire us to make needed, profitable changes in our business.
How would you describe the typical trades contractor? Would the word successful or highly profitable be used? Well, there are some contractors in every trade that do fall into that category. However, the typical trades company looks more like this. They offer a multiplicity of work to their customers. Most offer residential and or commercial service, retrofit work, maintenance agreements, and most used to perform at least some residential new construction. Most days are long, cash flow is tight, and when it's all said and done, the company really doesn't make much, if any, profit. Does that sound familiar? It does to most contractors. Well, guess what? It may have been that way in the past, but it doesn't have to be that way in the future. If you're willing to change, you can turn your company around. I've shared the following true situation with contractors for years. Sometimes it's during a keynote address or perhaps during a live webinar, and I nearly always share it during our three-day basic business boot camp. Now, during this presentation, I'm going to be talking about actual situations from a real company, but the name of the actual company will not be used. So, for example purposes, let's give our company a name. As a matter of fact, just to stay current with national events, let's call our company Joe the Plumber. You might remember hearing about Joe during the recent presidential election. If not, hey, don't worry about it. It's a made-up name anyway. First, I'm going to share the actual story of Joe the Plumber. We're going to see what Joe did back in 1995. Next, we're going to talk about his problems, and then I'm going to share with you about the changes Joe made in order to become the most well-known and the most profitable contractor in his city. Finally, when I finish talking about Joe, we're going to discuss eight very specific things that we can learn from Joe's experience. Now think back to 1995. Joe was having a tough time. He was what I would call the typical plumbing company. He was doing service, new construction, and remodeling. And the bottom line was pretty clear. Joe was working really, really hard, but not making any money. They say necessity is the mother of invention, and that's what spurred Joe to make a change. After taking a close look at his company, Joe realized that he was not doing a very good job in any of the three areas he offered his customers. So Joe made a decision to be profitable. Joe decided that he was going to become the absolute best service plumbing contractor in his city. That's right. Joe decided to do one thing and do it really, really, really well. And that got the ball rolling. Now, we all know how hard it is to find time to think in the normal everyday working environment. So Joe took a couple of months off. He needed time to think, and he needed time to plan. If he was going to make the switch to 100% service work, he also knew things would have to change, and change dramatically. His current company model simply did not work, not even in the service department. Then the thought hit him. Why don't I design my new company the way I want it to run? Thus the process began. Joe began to look at his company through different eyes. He decided to address each weakness he had so that he could do it right in his new company. To do what Joe wanted to do also made one other fact crystal clear. When it was all said and done, it was going to cost a lot of money to run the company the way he wanted to run it. That meant he would more than likely have to switch to flat rate pricing. What was the unknown? What rate would he have to charge to cover all of his cost and truly make a profit in his company? So Joe took some time off. He found a quiet place to think, and he began addressing the problems he currently had in order to correct them in his new service company. Joe addressed the following items. Number one on his list was high employee turnover. His techs would stay a year or perhaps two, and then move on for an additional dollar an hour down the street. That had to stop. What was the solution? Well, the new company was going to pay their techs well. The modeling of the new company would be based on an average tech making between $50,000 and $100,000 a year. And the company would pay all of the tech's medical, dental, and vision insurances. In addition to that, Joe decided to include a 401k plan and profit sharing. With that kind of a program, he could surely attract and retain the top techs in the area. By the way, last year Joe's average tech made $93,000 plus benefits. When I share this one point in class, there's always at least three company owners that volunteer to close their companies and apply to work for Joe. Joe then addressed the area of junky-looking trucks. Joe's vehicles looked bad. He had pickups, he had vans, and basically a mishmash of old vehicles. So what was Joe's proposed solution to his new company? The new company would only have new, very expensive, box vans. The reasoning was quite simple. First, the box vans would serve as moving billboards, which would help market the company. Since they were new and kept clean, the initial impression to the customer would be excellent. The move to box vans, however, was a little more foundational than that. Joe was well aware of the cost of non-billable time. It was very expensive to have his expensive techs driving back and forth to the shop and or to the distributor's facilities to pick up parts that were not on their truck. The new box vans would literally be designed to carry everything needed on the job. The basic parts would be on the truck, but also there would be things like water heaters, toilets, and sub pumps. The new company could not afford to run their new, highly paid technicians all over town to pick up parts. Box vans became part of the business plan for the new company. Another problem Joe faced in 1995 dealt with his techs in the area of customer service. Customer service is a huge part of being highly successful. The initial impression the tech gives the customer can literally make or break the relationship. And guess what? Joe's guys were not very good when it came to customer service. Joe's new company would address the problem. If Joe was going to meet his goal of being the best plumbing company in the city, he was going to have to continuously train his technicians in customer service, customer relations, and add-on sales. The new business plan included massive amounts of training dollars. Poor response time was another problem Joe faced. Customers would often call his company only to find out there was going to be hours or perhaps days before he could send out a service technician. Well, everybody knew, including Joe, that the customer wanted service when they wanted it, not in 2 days. This problem had to be overcome in Joe's new company. After a bit of thinking, Joe came up with a way to overcome the problem as well. The new company model would include an additional tech and an additional box van that he did not normally need. In other words, he built in extra capacity. His new model would include an extra tech with all of his or her typical cost of doing business, including insurances and taxes and uniforms and cell phones, etc., etc. The cost of the new tech and the van would be built into the pricing. But in reality, the tech would be sitting around waiting for the phone to ring. Hey, that was the whole idea. Joe wanted extra capacity so that when the phone rang, he could provide immediate service. The customers would love it. The idle tech, with all his related costs and overhead, was going to be very expensive, but that didn't bother Joe. His vision was to be the best in town, and he would do whatever it took to make that happen. Joe simply built the extra tech and van into the cost of running the company, just like he did rent and utilities. Joe then addressed customer complaints. Joe's current company was getting way too many customer complaints. He not only had too many, but they were poorly handled. That was another problem that had to be solved in the new, highly successful and profitable company that was on the drawing board. This one took a while, but Joe found a way to solve it. The additional investment in customer relations would definitely lower customer complaints, but he knew there would still be some complaints. So Joe had a plan. He created a program called 100% Customer Satisfaction. The bottom line was that Joe would personally, yes, personally, handle all customer complaints. To solve each complaint would cost money, so Joe built 3% of his projected gross sales into the overhead of the new service company. With the money in hand and the time to talk personally to the customer, complaints could be solved quickly and efficiently. Now, few people work really hard without an incentive to do so. Joe's techs needed to have a vested interest to work hard. Joe also understood human nature. It was going to take some kind of an incentive program to make his potentially profitable techs work hard. Joe solved the problem by paying all of his techs minimum wage to begin with. The techs then earned the remainder of their income by earning a percentage of all the dollars they billed out. The neat part was that it was a sliding scale. The first $2,000 brought in during the week would earn a certain percentage. And when the gross sales increased, so did the percentage they earned, but they were always retroactive back to the first of the week. When the techs worked harder, they earned more money. Problem solved. Last but not least, Joe wasn't making a decent profit. Joe's current situation was not unlike many contractors in the industry. The owner was working really, really hard, but wasn't making much, if any, profit. That had to stop, and stop soon. This was a simple fix. Joe was going to total all of his real cost of doing business, and then add in a decent profit. If he was going to invest the time and the energy and the money it was going to take to be the best in town, he had darn well better be making a decent profit. Joe addressed the problems we just discussed, and he built all the cost of doing business into the model of his new company. Joe knew from the outset that his hourly rate was going to be high, so he was fully prepared to move to flat rate pricing. So his needed hourly rate would never, ever be seen by the customer. Well, Joe was right. He ran the numbers, and guess what? Way back in 1995, Joe's hourly rate for his new company needed to be about $250 an hour to cover all of his real cost of doing business and to generate a reasonable profit. Charging $250 today on flat rate is not all that unusual, but back in 1995, it was downright scary. However, Joe was committed. He made the changes and he charged what he had to charge. Today, Joe truly is the best plumbing service company in his town, and today his rate is well over $250 an hour. But guess what? Customers love him, and Joe is making a nice profit. By the way, Joe attended our 3-day basic business boot camp a few years ago, and he fine-tuned his company just a bit more. And yes, his rate went up again. Now that we know Joe's story, let's take a little time to see what we can learn from Joe. As we look at the changes Joe made, we're going to discuss 8 specific things we can learn from our friend Joe the Plumber that can help turn your company around as well. So let's get started. The first thing we can learn from Joe is pretty obvious. Proper pricing is foundational to making a profit. That's right. Proper pricing is foundational to making a profit. It doesn't matter if you're a one-man operation or a multi-million-dollar company. Proper pricing is foundational if you want to make a profit. It makes no sense to charge $125 an hour because everybody else in town does if you need $147 to cover your real cost of doing business while generating a reasonable profit. Joe spent the time, and it does take time, to review all of his cost of doing business in order to determine what he had to charge per hour. Until you know what you must charge per hour to cover your real cost of doing business, you will never be priced right, and you will never generate a profit. That's important. Let me repeat that. Until you know, you absolutely know, what you must charge per hour to cover your real cost of doing business, you will never, no, never, be priced right, and you will never generate a profit. Now let's see what else we can learn from Joe. Well, we learned that price is not, no, it's not the determining factor. Remember Joe's thinking process? His first step was to design a new company in order to exceed his customers' expectations. Joe then calculated all of his real cost of doing business, including a reasonable profit, to determine what he had to charge per hour to cover those costs. The process ensured the fact that everything was covered in his hourly rate. Now, did you pay close attention to what Joe did? His first concern was to exceed his customers' expectations. He was not concerned about what he was going to have to charge per hour, because Joe understood a principle few contractors have yet to grasp. He knew that what he charged per hour was not the deciding factor in whether the customer used him or not. Joe knew that if he met, well, actually exceeded the customer's expectations, that price literally would not be on the customer's top 10 list of concerns. And guess what? Joe went to flat rate pricing, charged $250 an hour, and has experienced profitable growth ever since. By the way, it's been nearly 15 years since Joe made the change. He is now well over $300 an hour, and he's still experiencing profitable growth. And by the way, Joe is not gouging the customer at $300+ an hour. Joe is not gouging the customer at $300 per hour. That is what he has to charge to cover his cost while generating a reasonable profit. Now let's talk about happy customers creating referrals. I read an article by Bob Daniels recently that reinforced what the customer is actually looking for. People tell other people about your company not based on how well the repair was done, but, are you ready for this? Based on how nice the technician was. That's right. A huge portion of the customer's perception of how well the job was done was based not on the repair itself, but how the customer was treated by the technician. Take a minute and let's read the quote from Bob's presentation. The quote is, "Next time a friend or an acquaintance raves about a local business, ask them what they liked. 9 times out of 10, the answer will be, 'Gee, their employees were so nice.' And even if you come back and ask, 'How was the product or the service you received?' the answer will be something casual like, 'Oh, fine, I guess. But boy, the men that came to my house were so nice.' It's almost shocking. People actually form their judgment most often based upon niceness, not on how well the work was performed or the actual product itself." Our friend Joe understood this principle. That's why Joe's new business, plan included a huge amount of money for customer service and customer relations training. Joe's customers don't tell their friends about how high their bill was. They tell them about the technician who was showing up on time, how the tech wore booties, how the tech actually listened to them. Most of all, however, Joe's customers talk about how nice his technicians are. Get the point? Now, if you really want to dazzle your customer, have the tech take an extra 5 minutes on the job and take a vacuum into the home and vacuum the area where he was working. Can you imagine what Mrs. Jones is going to tell her neighbors about? When presenting our 3-day basic business boot camp, I often use the phrase hire for attitude and train for service. Attitude can be altered somewhat through training, but the hill is a lot easier to climb if the individual you hire already has a great attitude. An individual with a great attitude can learn the technical side of the job. The reverse, however, is much more difficult. So what else can we learn from Joe? We learn that top techs are attracted to well-run companies that offer above-average wages and benefits. There are two basic reasons a tech stays with a company year after year after year. The foundational need is to make a good living for their families. Remember Joe's initial criteria? He wanted his average tech to earn between $50,000 and $100,000 a year. In addition to that, he paid full medical, dental, and vision insurance, and included a 401k plan and profit sharing. I mean, that's a great program. Now think for a moment. If your company offered that kind of a pay and benefit package, do you really think you would have any problem finding and retaining the best technicians in your area? I don't think so. Now I know what some of you are thinking. Tom, there's no way I could offer my techs that kind of a package. My answer is, why not? Joe does, and several other contractors I know have similar programs. The key is including all your cost of doing business into your hourly rate and then having the courage to charge what you have to charge to cover it. Now, I mentioned there were two reasons a tech stayed with a company long term. After the basic needs are met, the next criteria is being appreciated and recognized for doing an outstanding job. Below is an unsolicited quote from one of our ProfitMax users. ProfitMax is a software program that accurately tracks the productivity and profitability of each and every service technician. Listen to what this ProfitMax user said. It said, I implemented the SuperTech 500 bonus program within ProfitMax in May. We're now 2 months into the program, and we've seen at least a 30% increase in production. The word has gotten out to other techs in our city, and we're now getting calls daily for interviews. Those techs that are not performing know exactly where they're not productive, and they also know that we have a list of applicants ready to replace them if they don't improve, unquote. Did you hear that? The word had gotten out to other techs in town that this company not only accurately measured their productivity, but they also rewarded the technicians based on how productive they were. Quality techs want to work for companies that both measure their productivity and reward them for it. Techs want you to know that they're doing a great job. Companies that recognize and reward outstanding performance are the kinds of companies that techs seek out and want to work for. If you will combine an outstanding pay package with a recognition program for outstanding work, you will both attract and retain the best technicians in the area. The key, once again, build the costs into your pricing. So what else did Joe teach us? He taught us that investing in customer service pays huge dividends. Customer service is the name of the game. As we've already stated, outstanding customer service overrides, yes, overrides any resistance to pricing. That statement is worth repeating. Outstanding customer service overrides any and all resistance to pricing. Do you remember why your customers tell their friends about your company? Because your techs are so nice. Now, any kind of program needs an incentive to make it work. Some of you may recall an article I wrote a couple of years ago that talked about the attaboy system. In essence, the tech was given an attaboy every time they significantly exceeded the customer's expectations. When the customer's expectations were exceeded, the tech was given an attaboy. At the end of the month, all the techs gathered around the dartboard and were given a dart for each and every attaboy they earned during the month. As the darts were thrown, the dart thrower was cheered on by his fellow techs because whatever number the tech hit on the board earned that many cash dollars. The owner and/or service manager paid cash on the spot. It's a great program, and it keeps the tech in the mindset of trying to exceed customer expectations on a regular basis. For more details on the program, check out our earlier article or attend our 3-day basic business boot camp. Something else we learned from Joe was that 100% customer satisfaction really is possible. To make that happen, the funds need to be made available, and someone, and it should be the owner, needs to take personal responsibility for handling dissatisfied customers. The funding part is easy. Joe simply built 3% of his projected gross sales into his overhead cost, and therefore into his pricing. If his projected sales were $2 million for the next year, he built $60,000 into his overhead, and therefore into his hourly rate. Again, building all cost of doing business into your hourly rate is key. If there's one thing that must be fully realized by every contractor, it's this: the customer pays for everything. Your customers pay for your tech's wages, for your rent, your yellow pages, your insurances, and yes, even the cost of making them happy. If the customer doesn't absorb the cost, guess who does? Joe also taught us that creating a win-win pay system creates happy employees and increased profits. Everyone, including your techs, needs an incentive to produce above the norm. In Joe's case, the techs were paid a percentage of what they grossed each week. However, it was a sliding scale. As the gross sales of the week went up, so did the percentage they earned on those sales. Bottom line, if they worked harder, they made more money. It's a simple concept, but it works. We also learned another very important thing from Joe. We found out that it really is possible to make a nice living running a trades company. There are two basic reasons why most contractors do not make a good living. The first problem is the family tree. My granddad never made more than $30,000 a year. My dad never made more than $30,000 a year. So what's the obvious conclusion? I'm not worth more than $30,000 a year. Now stop right here and repeat the next sentence over and over until you actually believe it. The sentence is, I provide a very valuable service to my customers and I deserve to make a good living doing it. Now say it again. I provide a very valuable service to my customers and I deserve to make a good living doing it. As a matter of fact, I would suggest you type that up and tape it to your mirror in the bathroom where you shave each morning. Repeat that statement over and over again every time you shave. Do this day in and day out, week in, week out, until you believe it. They say it takes 21 days to form a new habit. So try it. Read the statement several times a day for 21 days and see if it doesn't make a difference in your thinking. Now let's look at the other side of the coin. Did you know that most profitable businesses in the trades industry are run by owners who fully understand the business side of the business and may or may not understand the technical side of the business? 95% of all trades company owners used to be a tech, so they normally understand the technician side of the business, but not necessarily the business side. Now, contractors are not stupid. Most simply have not exposed themselves to business training because of the fear factor. The thinking is, gee, I must be dumb since my company's losing money. I must be the only one in this situation, so I'm sure not going to be going to a business training class and look like I'm an idiot in the room. Well, guess what? You're not an idiot, and you're not alone. Most every owner in the trades industry is in the same boat. Most owners of contracting companies are thinking exactly the same thing. You are not dumb unless you fail to do something about it. I want to urge you to attend any business training class that's made available to you through your trade association and/or your distributor. Learn how to run a profitable company. You will never make money until you fully understand the business side of your business. Hopefully, you've learned a few things from today's presentations. I want to wrap things up by reminding you of just a couple key principles we covered. Number one, the company's number one objective must be to exceed the customer's expectations. The emphasis on the quality of the service, not on making money. Number two, the customer bases their opinion on the quality of work done, on how nice the technician is, and how well they cleaned up after the job, not how technically proficient he or she was. A third thing I want you to remember is this. The customer pays for everything. If the cost is not built into your hourly rate, guess what? You pay for it. And number four, before you invest another minute of time or a dime of investment into your company, find out how much you must charge per hour to cover your real cost of doing business and to generate a reasonable profit. When you determine what your hourly rate needs to be, charge it. Let me say that again. When you determine what your hourly rate needs to be, charge it. Seek out opportunities to attend business training classes. Our 3-day basic business boot camp literally covers everything you need to know about running a profitable business. So check us out on our website at www.grandyassociates.com for presentations being made in your local area.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. If you want to move your company forward, then you just might want to consider attending one of Grandy & Associates' 3-day basic business boot camps. Check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com to view a list of upcoming events in your area. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach contractors how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-800-432-7963. The Service Contractors Business Presentation of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.